your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Mr. David Britton.
Hello, how are you?
Not bad, mate, not bad. How's Level 3 treating you for the first day?
For me today, not much change, really.
Same.
Yeah. Lot more things to see on the news.
Right. A bit more going on.
I have to say that, but I've not got out much today. Hopefully do a bit more of that tomorrow.
Don't make any promises, though. Just relax, mate. No need to rush
these
things.
Yeah.
David, do you have a collection of amateur telescopes at your house?
John, with a private question there, but I'll allow it.
A collection? No. I do have a couple of smaller instruments, but I've never really needed to have anything fancy because I've had access to the telescopes.
To the Stardome.
You're straight to the top, really, aren't you?
Well, yeah, pretty much.
I've got the biggest telescope in town. Now, speaking of telescopes, the Hubble Space Telescope has just celebrated its 30th anniversary.
Speaking of telescopes in town.
Yeah, well, first up, I have not had access to this one, I have to say.
Sounds like you want it, though.
Yeah, it's orbiting above our heads at about 540 kilometres. It's been doing that
That's not very fast at all.
I was
waiting for you to chuck another zero on the end of that, but 540 seems pretty reasonable.
Yeah, it's higher than the space shuttle, but only a bit less than 100 kilometres because, after all, it was put into an orbit where it could be serviced by astronauts from the space shuttle.
Word.
So that was quite deliberate. I mean, the telescope had five servicing missions. Something other space telescopes can't happen. So between 1993 and 2009, there were five missions where they either repaired it or upgraded the telescope, replacing out mechanical parts or putting new instruments in.
What's the vintage on the Hubble? Isn't it?
What's that?
What's the vintage on it? How old is it? It's pretty old, isn't it?
Well, 30 years.
Oh, yeah.
So that's 1990, April 25th, actually, is when it was launched.
She thought it was older.
So that's why it's the 30th anniversary. I mean, it's still going, and it's going to be going to at least 2024. It's got a lifetime. It could go to 2030 or 40, but it depends on people on the ground maintaining things. But, I mean, it's done more than just science. I mean, a lot of the science has been very, very important. But, I mean, it's really touched people and the general public in a way that no other telescope has done for a very long time. It's everything from the beginning of the universe, which is the deep field and the ultra-deep field, where take a head of a pin at arm's length and that piece of sky where you can't see it, it's just dark, there's no stars, no galaxies. The Hubble looked at that area of sky and found thousands and thousands of galaxies.
The Hubble, such a maverick renegade of a telescope.
You know, and the Pillars of Creation, that is an iconic image, and anyone with an internet connection is bound to have seen a Hubble image at some point, whether they realised it or not. And, you know, so it really has made a huge difference, being able to take images from above the Earth's atmosphere.
All those images are black and white, eh? And then we colour them in, don't we?
No. It's the images are taken with filters, a bit like the reverse of printing. So colour printing, you have cyan, magenta, yellow, black, and you put layers of ink down like that, and combined it makes full colour. Similar with in fact, not just the Hubble, but most astronomical photography, you take images in through a filter, and then you add those filtered images together to make the colour. What they do quite a lot, it depends on the type of image you're after, is to use false colour to bring out details that you can't see with the eye because your eye's not very good at seeing gradations in one color.
So it's not actually taking a photo of what's there in a sense. It's if you, these filters, are they representing what's there, or are they just sort of like, oh, here's some color so you can see different layers to what you're taking a photo of?
It's seeing what's there, but remember, this is all electronic. So if you tried to get all the colors at once, it really doesn't work at the high resolutions and so on that they need. And so, as I said, it's not just the Hubble, it's pretty much most high-grade astrophotography is done this way. Yeah. I mean, but its accuracy is amazing. Remember, it's going around the Earth in orbit at about 26,000 kilometers an hour. Okay, and it's 500 kilometers, 40 kilometers up. But it can keep its telescope pointing at a point in the sky for very long periods. It's like the example I've just found is from the Empire State Building in New York, having a laser pointer focused on a 5-cent coin taped to the side of the Washington Monument, 320 kilometers away,
and then
for
I guess
24 hours.
So it just loses it by sort of getting eclipsed by the Earth? Is that sort of how it works? Loses whatever it's looking at?
No, it has little motors that turn, a bit like gyroscopes in a way,
right.
not exactly like that, and those actuators keep the telescope pointing in one part of the sky. Remember, as it's going around the Earth, it keeps pointing to the same point in the sky. It doesn't keep pointing near points towards the Earth because the Earth's too bright anyway.
Mm.
Okay? But and as far as degrees go, it's 0.007 of a second of arc.
Mm.
So if you think of a degree of angle, then a minute, then a second. This is 7,000ths of a second of arc.
I feel like we could talk about the Hubble for quite a long time. I've got a lot of questions about the Hubble, but we should probably move on.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'll put a whole bunch of links up on our website to do with the story, to Pete Grimm follow up, a whole lot of detail with this.
Now, would the Hubble have actually looked at the comet Atlas, which is disintegrated, David?
Well, yes, in fact, it did. Comet Atlas was looked as if it was going to be a really bright one that the public could have a look at. Unfortunately, a little while ago, it decided to fall to pieces. And so it's in at least four mini-comets, if you like. It's not unusual for this type of comet, which has come from the Oort cloud way out past Pluto, to do this. But this one happened to be a bit bigger, and where it broke up, it was reasonably close in astronomical terms to the Earth. So they got a good view of it. And the Hubble telescope is the one that really is being able to capture the views that they're using to, you know, really get the information out of this broken up comet.
How often
it's not one we're going to see in the public at all. It's purely for the top astronomers. Mm. Yeah.
How often would that particular comet have flown past Earth?
Very, very, very long time ago. It's almost a parabolic orbit, so it really isn't the sort of orbit that is regular.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they're so rare. I mean, this one's only the second bright comet from the Oort cloud that Hubble's been able to observe in the whole 30 years it's been up there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Which is, yeah, it's great as picking up what's happening, but it's a shame that it broke up and...
Now, the ESA Mars rover Rosalind Franklin, the launch has been delayed to 2022. Is this due to coronavirus?
Don't you do
that. The coronavirus pandemic is part of it.
Mm.
That's sort of like the straw that broke the camel's back, but really the main
space camel
problem's been a few technical issues, and the main technical issue has been their parachute that they're using to land on the surface of Mars. They've had huge problems, like the last time they did a test, it ripped.
Mm.
And they've just run out of time, and the pandemic has just, you know, added to all of that. So you only get a window to go to Mars every 2 years,
mm-hmm.
So that's why the next one will be in 2022, unfortunately.
What's this particular rover going to do when it finally gets to Mars?
look for evidence of life.
Mm-hmm. What kind of life? Life that we like?
Any life. I don't think it's fussy.
It's just cruising around. Yeah, okay, I'm not going down there.
Yeah, no.
How much AI are on these things? Much AI? Can it make its own little decisions and stuff?
No.
Can it decide to make
yet.
A space
it'll
colony
be controlled
and then
by
just
the ground.
Come back and kill us all or something like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, the night sky, David, what's happening up there?
Well, a few things, which is rather nice. If people are getting out there, I hope they are, because we've still got some clear skies, and with less lights on, it's a little bit darker. Not a huge amount in Auckland, but it is a little bit darker. So after sunset, you've got Venus pretty low, and there's a crescent moon getting a bit brighter each day after sunset at the moment. And over in the east, you've got Scorpius rising. In the morning, though, it's a bit more to see. So if people are up, there's three planets, Jupiter, Saturn, and Mars. But at the moment, we're also in the middle of a meteor shower. So when comets like Atlas, usually bigger, when they do go around the sun, they leave a trail of dust behind them. And sometimes they leave it in a place where the Earth goes through it.
Classic.
And so it's a bit like, you know, a car driving at night with headlights on through rain. It looks like the rain is coming from a single point ahead of you, just a perspective ahead. And that's what's happening with these meteor showers. This one's called the Eta Aquarid meteor shower. So if people are up from about 3:30 in the morning up till dawn, looking out towards the east, any meteors would be radiating from point just above east. So if you don't just look there, but look all around the sky, a good way is to have two or three people looking at different parts of the sky, so standing or sitting back to back, and then when one sees one, you can say, oh, there, and everyone turns around and sees it. That's a good way to do it, but of course you've got to be in your bubble to do that these days.
Nice, nice. And what's happening at the Stardome?
The Stardome is still closed through Level 3. Still plenty of things that are going up on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And, of course, the Spaced Out topics, I'm updating it after each show with the links to the stories and other stories that I don't have time to talk about. But there's a couple of things that are a little bit more special. One is the Solar System Challenge. The idea there is to make your representation of the solar system using objects that you have at home. Might be fruit and vegetables, it might be saucepans and pans or
maybe
whatever.
Maybe small animals and dogs.
Animals, anything. Anything goes as long as it's legal. and so send that through to Stardome. And coming up, because we've got May the 4th coming up, and of course we can't do our usual May the 4th celebration for Star Wars.
May the 4th be with you.
Exactly.
Yes.
So we're having a Star Wars challenge, a bit like you might have seen some of these pictures on YouTube and so on, where people are imitating famous paintings. Mm. Well, the Star Wars challenge there is to do your version of either a scene.
This one's for the dog.
Or
for sure.
a picture. It can be a still image or it can be a short scene, 5 to 10 seconds or so, and put that up and for everyone to have a look at. So that'll be on the Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook pages.
I've actually seen a very good outfit on a greyhound of one of those massive sort of walking. What are those things called? Damn it!
You're thinking about the
Imperial marching thing, like the massive, and then you know
Empire Strikes Back in the snow.
And the scene, and then he flies around and tangles it up with his. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, I mean, there's already some up there. Actually, when you called me, I was actually watching one. It's about 3.5 minutes on YouTube of various scenes that they've put together. And I mean,
Go Star Wars,
the bottom of a kitchen
man.
Brush for...
David, just quickly, are you Star Wars or Star Trek, if you had to?
I grew up with Star Trek and then Star Trek Next Generation, but Star Wars has a special place, I think.
Nice one. Hey, mate, we should probably get away here. Thank you very much. Thank you to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, take care.
Kia ora, mate.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Star Wars for the win, eh?